This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see all of you this morning. How was that extra hour of lost sleep last night? You doing well? Did you get the extra coffee? There is coffee. You guys caught that, right? It's over there. If you need some, go get some. But grateful to just be with you all this morning to worship together, to dive into the Word together. So excited for that. So we're in a series, though, called Poured Out. This is in the book of 2 Timothy. Dr. Ron has been taking us through this book. He's given a lot of good history and work up to this, and a lot of good just conversation, encouragement, and challenges over the past few weeks. So make sure you jump back if you missed those. And catch those. They're on our website, on our app, our YouTube channel, along with some sermon discussion guides that go along with each of the sermons to help you discuss, to talk about what we just talked about that Sunday. Today, though, like I said, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. We're going to jump right in. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy 3. So if you want to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word, or if you want to open your favorite Bible app, or there are Bibles under the seats as well. Today is going to be a little bit different. If you've heard me preach before, it'll be a little bit different just because there's so much that's in these verses that we're going to read today. So I'm going to try and give you as much as I can in the little bit of time that we have. So hold on tight. We're not doing milk today. This is like meat of the word day, okay? We're going to dive in and get after some theological truths because we're sleepy, right? That's what we do. We dive in and we do the hard stuff, so I love it. But we're going to jump in to 2 Timothy 3, we're going to be in verse 1, and then we're going to skip down in a minute to verse 14. We're going to start, just read verse 1. So verse 1 says this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Welcome to church. Right? This is what a great way to start the morning. We're just talking about the terrible things that are happening, but hey, this is what happens. We're preaching through the book of 2 Timothy, and I want to be true to the word. This is where we're starting. But it's true. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. If you go on and read the next 13 verses, you can. Some of you are already scanning ahead. You can see some of these things that will happen. You don't have to. You can literally stop at verse 1, and you get the idea. There will be terrible times. These are the things that we have to look forward to. My question to you is, when you look around you, what do you see? Is it happening? Some of these things for sure, right? And yes, things are getting worse. I'm going to be very clear this morning. I am not claiming that this is the end time. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe we are heading that way, and each day is a day closer. So, I mean, honestly, like this fall, we have something called elections, right? And it just seems like as you come into the fall, why is it that when the elections come around, it all of a sudden seems like we get the worst side of everybody? You guys notice that? And it's just, it's things like that, but there's things that are happening all around, and bad things and terrible things happen to us. And I think that we can take what Paul's going to teach us today to just terrible things that are happening in our lives, and when the end times do come, to prepare us for that as well. Now, some things are like the fall, and it seems really far away, right? Like, I was backpacking one time with a group out in Wyoming, and we were out in the mountains, and I'm a weirdo. I love seeing nature when I'm out in nature, right? Like, not in my car. Like, if I'm out walking, I love seeing animals, and I love seeing God's creation, and I love seeing grizzly bears. And so we get out there, and we're, like, way out, right? Like 30 miles from anything. And I'm out there, and we're looking, and I'm like, oh, grizzly, right over there. But right over there was on another peak. So like, it's like a 500 yard straight shot, but it's down about 2,000 feet. So I'd have to go down, way up. Anyways, it's way far away. The danger is way over there, but it is like a mama and her cubs, and we could just sit there and we watch it in the safety of knowing it's way far away. That happens sometimes. But then there's, you know, they tell you when you're going backpacking, they do this, all this kind of training, and they, before I ever went backpacking, I sat down and did some learning and went on a few trips with somebody else, and they taught me a few things, a lot of things, about what to do when you're in nature and what to do when you find animal encounters. And so it was interesting when I was talking to this person, because you want to trust the person, right, that's teaching you this thing. Because if I get out there and I run into this dangerous situation, I want to believe that what they told me is actually going to work, right? So we're on another trip, and I'm out backpacking, actually just this past summer, or hiking with my family. And I'm going to try and show this video. I don't know if it's going to work because it was having some trouble. So we're going to try and show you. But this is what happens on this trip. So let's go ahead and see if it works for us.
It's not, just keep walking. You're good. Keep walking and talking.
Well, I guess the video stopped, so I'll just go ahead and give you what happened. But you got this beautiful picture in the background. Right, I don't know if you can see it, but actually right here is a little brown thing, and it's not so little. We walk around this corner, and about from me to the sound booth away,
out pops a bear.
Yep. And this bear, it's brown, and so the people around me are like, oh, it's a grizzly bear. I've done enough training. I looked at it, and I'm like, did you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, fun fact of the day, black bears can actually be different colors. So this one was actually brown. But it's a black bear, and it's about me to the booth away. And I've got my kids in tow, my wife's there, and actually a couple other people jumped into our group because we knew that there was probably a bear coming up on the trail. And so I just walked my family through it. I'm like, okay, what we need to know is to remember what the person before me taught me. Let's be calm. Let's keep walking and talking. We'll stay together. We've got proper protection with us to make sure if anything does go wrong, we know what to do. But if we're going to stay calm, we're going to stay together, and we're going to keep moving. And we made it out of this situation, and I got to see a bear, which is sweet. For me, maybe not for you, but I loved it. Also, be super careful. I'm not encouraging you to go and hang out with bears in the wild. Hear that. That's Mike's disclaimer. We were not intending to go and hang out with the bear. The bear just happened to be there. And that's what happens, though, is sometimes terrible things happen, and it gets close, and it's not because you wanted it to, but it's there. So what do we do when we notice the craziness getting closer? When dangerous things get closer, when evil gets closer, when the world seems to be getting worse, when people are bringing the heat to all of us? Oh, we're gonna see what Paul says to Timothy, because he gives Timothy some words of encouragement here about what to do when things get terrible. So let's jump down, like I said, we're gonna jump down to verse 14, and we're gonna slow down and read these next couple verses slower to kind of pick out these pieces from him. So Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it." So he says, when these terrible things happen, when you're engaged with evil, continue in what you've learned. And he says in there, because of who you learned them from. So my question to you then is, who did you learn from? Who did you learn from? For this book, Timothy learned from Paul. Paul also tells us that Timothy had a grandmother and a mother who raised him, and they had faith before he did, and so they trained him. But who did you learn from? Who's made an impact on your life in big or small ways for the gospel? I bet you can think of a couple, and it's okay, you can whisper them. Please whisper them to the person next to you. If you've got a couple people that are coming to your mind, you came with somebody today, share those with the person next to you real quick, because these people, they've made an impact, and that's important. That's valuable. Ron challenged you actually a couple weeks ago to send a letter, and then he mentioned it again, and I'm going to actually mention it again today. I think it's important to send a letter to these people. And if you've already done that, that's awesome. If you haven't, there's always still time to encourage them. I actually took this challenge myself, literally, and when I was in sixth grade, the start of my real hard journey towards following Jesus, I had a great small group leader. So sixth grade was not last year for me. That was quite a while ago, and I don't think that I had taken the time ever to thank that person. So I'm here today going, I reached back, and I wanted to do this myself to say thank you, because that has made a huge impact on my life, of them sharing the gospel with me. But to encourage them, take this chance, share a note with the person to encourage them to continue to share the gospel. It's so important to encourage boldness and faith, sharing faith that this is something that's often forgotten or abandoned, or simply we don't prioritize it. Let's keep on going though. 2 Timothy 3:15, we're only gonna make it through half the verse and then I'm gonna pause. And how from infancy you have known the scriptures. Now, what we're thinking about in this story, in what's written here, Timothy's world was a very different world from ours. See, Timothy, like I said, his mom was a Jew, and there were certain things that just Jewish families did. And one of those was just that if you were Jewish, you would know the Holy Scriptures. You would be raised knowing them. Jewish boys were typically raised in their schools to read, and they spent a lot of time reading the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and writing and doing extensive Bible memorization. Now, when I say extensive, this is how crazy it is. Maybe you've heard this before. By age 12, any 12-year-olds in the room? None this service. All right. That's all right. By the age 12, they had memorized the Torah. Now, what is the Torah? That's the first five books of the Bible. So if you were to take your copy of God's Word and you were to open it up to the end of Deuteronomy and you were to look, it's that much of the Bible that they had memorized. About 170 pages. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that many people that have memorized 170 pages of the Bible right now, right? Like this, it just doesn't translate today when we say we know the Bible to what they knew the Bible and what some may know still. See, let me talk to you about what our society, how it looks. I did some research on this. Lifeway Research actually did a study in August of 2024. And these are some of the stats they found about Americans. Almost 50% of Americans have not read even half of the Bible. 66%, that's two-thirds, have read half of the Bible or less. But there's about 3 to 4 Bibles on average in every U.S. household. That's interesting, right? In some ways, it seems like as a nation, we prioritize owning a Bible more than knowing the Bible. There's a song right now by Josiah Queen. It's called Dusty Bibles. I'm not going to play it for you because I think you get the idea simply by hearing the word. You can go look it up later. Dusty Bibles. See, if there's dust on the Bible in your house, I'm going to agree with Josiah Queen that you're probably wanting in your life. You are left wanting something more. Now, I don't believe that reading the Bible simply means that you'll be saved, right? I think people have read the Bible and have chosen not to follow Jesus. And I think there's people that have read the Bible and have just gone through the motions. Guilty, right? Like I've had moments where I've read through the Bible and just gone through the motions. So when we are reading the Bible, it's reading to know God, reading to remember him, his story, his plan, and how his way is better. Reading to follow him. I promise we're going to get through these next two verses. It's just slow. We're going to keep on moving though. Halfway through. So let's look at the second half of that verse. It says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is what's called sufficiency of Scripture. Sufficiency of Scripture. What that means in everyday words, the Bible is enough for you to know how to be saved. Did you get that? The Bible is enough for you and I to know how to be saved by God. I'm going to prove it to you here. In Romans 10, 9, you don't have to go there, but I'll just tell you what it says. In one part of the Bible, in Romans 10, 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. There you go. You've got it. You know what it is. The Bible is enough, and it tells you enough. There's a second part of sufficiency of Scripture. We're going to talk about that because when we get to verse 17, so hold on to that. But we have right now, right? The Bible is enough for you to know how to be saved. All right, verse 16. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We're going to slow down even more on these. We're going to break down a couple of these little parts. It says, first of all Scripture. So what is all Scripture? We've got, did you know this? We've got 66 books in this Bible. It was written over 1,600 years at the time of this letter for Timothy. The Scripture for the Jews would have been seen as our Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh, and it's organized a little differently, but it's the Old Testament. So our Old Testament has 39 books that are included into one, and that's called the Old Testament of our Bible. Some people, though, I don't know if you've heard this, they'll say, listen, that's the old thing, right? That's the old covenant. That's the Old Testament. It's done with. It's over with. I just want the new. Or, hey, I'm good with Jesus, but I don't know if I'm good with the Old Testament. Well, here's where this falls apart. Jesus was good with the Old Testament. You see that? Like, he quotes the Old Testament. He doesn't go back and say, yeah, the Old Testament is wrong. No, he quotes it. He supports, he uses it for his defense, for his sharing of how he is come. There's actually, if you want to do some research later, there's hundreds of quotes in the New Testament that are direct quotes from the Old Testament. There's actually thousands of indirect quotes, or where they're referencing, but they don't directly quote it. This would be some great hard work that you can do later. We don't have time to do a bunch of that today, but we will talk about a few of those. The Bible calls itself the Scriptures. Did you know this? So, first of all, we have the Old Testament, right? And the Jews at the time, Jesus is good with it. Jesus is God, and he is good with the Old Testament, supporting and standing for that the Old Testament is Scripture. Enough said, right? God says it's good. That's good enough for me. The Bible calls itself the Scripture in the New Testament. So I mentioned that in the writing of 2 Timothy, they would have had the Tanakh, or our equivalent of the Old Testament. And by this time, they would have actually had some New Testament books that they would have been able to read, right? They would have had some pieces that the church was already had access to because it was already written. I mean, you could simply go, well, 1 Timothy comes before 2 Timothy, so they should have had 1 Timothy, right? That's true. They had some others, and I want to give you an example. If you, I'll put it up on the screen, but if you want to flip there, in 1 Timothy 5:18, it says, For Scripture says, and then he mentions two things. Do not, it's kind of obscure, but just stick with me. Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. That's a direct quote from Deuteronomy. And the worker deserves his wages. That second part is found nowhere in the Old Testament. It's found in Luke 10:7. Let me read that for you real quick. Luke 10:7. So you've got it up here on the screen so you can see. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. It's a direct quote. So what Timothy is saying there, what Paul is saying there then, right, is that Scripture is the Old Testament, but so is Luke. So they had the copy of Luke's gospel, and he's already saying that this is Scripture. So in that time, they were already seeing books of the Bible that were available to them, and they were already calling them Scripture. Now, I'm going to take this one further. In 2 Peter 3:15-16, Peter calls Paul's letters scriptures. Let me read this for you. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Let's go to the next verse, or the next slide. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So Peter now is referencing Paul and his letters and saying that these are scripture. So now you have the New Testament calling itself scripture. And we could keep on going, but I just wanted to give you a few of those today. Let's talk about the New Testament. The New Testament is 27 books of the Bible. These are what all churches, they have the same 27 books. It was put together not because a group came together and picked books, but rather it was discerned as being scripture. Now, what does that mean? Is that I was already talking to you about how the early church, they had different of these books available to them. And at first, the New Testament was not all one book. They were individuals. And the church was using all of these individual books. And so how did they discern what books were actually scripture? Now, Apologetics Canada, super great team, and Wesley Huff gives us three criteria that the early church would use, that the early church used to discern what books were scripture. And these three criteria are authority, consistency, and usage. So authority is who was the authority, who's the person that wrote this. The authority had to be somebody that's closely tied to Jesus. So these were the apostles. So the writings were either the apostles or somebody closely associated to the apostles. That would be criteria one. Criteria two is consistency. Is the book consistent with what the apostles taught, with the apostles' doctrine? So I had to meet number two. And number three, usage. Was the book being used widespread and continuously by the early church? There were not just in like one little local church, but was it used across the church? That's what all 27 books, they all meet that. And they are, that's what they were all trying to meet, is the authority, consistency, and usage. Let me be clear there. They're all trying to meet those three pieces. And that's how they came to discern those. So these books were actually already being used by the church and already considered as scripture. And that's why they were lumped together into one called the New Testament. So all scripture means all of it. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New. It's all of it. Anybody ever been a kid in this room? Right, I've been a kid. What was the food that you tried to get away with not eating as a kid? Or maybe you do it now. I don't know. Could be now. For me, I had a few. Maybe this is you. Anybody try to avoid the green beans? Yeah, that was me as a kid.
Peas,
thank you. Yeah, Brussels sprouts. I was out on Brussels sprouts. Those were right out the door. What did you say?
Peach.
I don't know if I can agree with that one, but that's okay for you. Maybe that was your thing. Cauliflower, that was another one. It was right out. Now, my wife is an excellent cook, and so I think actually all of these things I eat now. But as a kid, I was like, no, these are the things, you know, I'll eat everything on the table, but I'm not eating those. I don't like those. They taste bad. They're not good for me. I'm convinced of that. They make me want, you know, never mind. We don't want to go there. But you get the idea. But all scripture means all of it. Not just the parts we like, the parts that are easy, the parts that taste good, or your favorite parts. Not just in the parts that don't ruffle feathers. All in every. This is why it's so good to get into habits of Bible reading. Things like reading the Bible cover to cover. It's why we pushed the Bible Recap, which is a Bible reading plan that takes you chronologically through the books of the Bible and has a video for you to go through each day. And I know there's several groups that are still in it, and I love it. It's why we push things like just reading the Bible in a year. Or two, whatever it ends up being. No judgment here. But the point is that you are starting to take a habit and to be in the Word, because we believe it's that powerful. Now in 2 Timothy 3:16, the next couple words says, all scripture is God-breathed. I promise we'll get through these, but we're going to stop right there. God-breathed. See, when you breathe, like, you can't make words without breath. And so when you think of that, that's what this means, is it's God-breathed. It's God's words that are coming out. Now, when it says it, I don't want to be really specific on this. It says all scripture is God-breathed. Did you catch that? All scripture. So it's the written words that he's calling inspired, not the people. Got that? Right? Like, I'm still a messed up person. I believe that I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, and the Holy Spirit's going to do awesome things, but I also am going to still mess up. Right? And so even this morning, like, I submit to the Lord and to God, and I'm gonna follow what the scripture says. So please check everything that I say against the word, because I am not what is infallible, but the word is. And there's a big difference there. Now, when you're talking about this, we talked about a piece of this earlier. People did the penmanship on this. They added their flair. If you read Luke's gospel, let me give you two examples. If you read Luke's gospel, Luke was a doctor. And so you would expect that when Luke talks and when Luke writes, he writes in a doctory kind of way, detailed, research-minded. And guess what you get when you read Luke? A doctory kind of way, research-minded. Now, when you read Paul was a Pharisee. That means he was trained in deep theological works. It's why when Peter says, some of the things he says are kind of hard to understand, that's what he's saying, because that's just Paul, who he was. So you're going to get that. But God inspired it. This is big. This is the authority of the Bible. This is the authority and why we have the Holy Scriptures. The Bible comes from God. That simply should change how we read the Bible, right? Our respect for it and our willingness to let it change us. That's why at the end of 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why is it useful? Because it's God-breathed. God said it. That's why it's useful. Verse 17, let's go there. It says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why. For Timothy's a servant of God, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a servant of God as well. And it's so that you can be equipped for every good work. And what do these good works do? They combat a world that's going down. This is the second part of the sufficiency of Scripture. The Bible is enough for you. Remember we said this. The Bible is enough for you to have faith. And how to live godly. That's what verse 17 is saying. And how to live godly. You don't need to know more to be saved. Scripture is clear. And Scripture also gives you how to live godly. So how do we combat the evil in this world? Paul tells Timothy and he tells us, continue in what you've learned. And what is that? It's the gospel. That's what Ron talked about all last week. It's the gospel. How do we continue? You know who you learned it from, right? I know who I learned those tips from about backpacking. And praise God, he kept me safe, and those things kept me safe. So you know who we learned it from, and you know the Holy Scriptures. If I can have the worship team start making their way up here, we're going to respond in musical worship in just a moment. You know who you learned it from. And you know the Holy Scriptures. But do you remember? These are my takeaways for you. This is what I hope you can take and bring home and use during your week. Number one, remember who you learned it from. Remember who you learned the gospel from. I shared this earlier, but I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. Write down some pieces that you learned from others about the gospel, about the Bible, about who God is. If you haven't sent them a note already, do it. Send them a note to say thank you. Number two, remember the Holy Scriptures. I don't know about you, but this is a clear call to do work at memorization. It's hard. It is hard. But it's a clear call to work on memorization and simply reading the Bible. As we come into Easter, what better way than to challenge yourself this month? What if you made a commitment to read through some of the Bible? What if you made a commitment to read through the book of John? Right? Let's read through Jesus' story to prepare for Easter. The fun thing about John is that it's 21 chapters, so you got 21 days of reading if you do a chapter today, a chapter a day. If you started that tomorrow, you would finish on Palm Sunday. Now, if you've recently read through John, then maybe you pick another gospel and you read through that one. If you're doing the Bible recap right now, keep it up. Keep it up. It's 12 minutes of reading a day on average. What a great habit to keep on diving into the Word. I know several small groups, several others of you are still working through that. And several others that have talked to me about just some other Bible reading plans that they're working through. Continue in that. I want to cheer you on. You are doing a good work. You are bringing good truth into your life. And it's God-breathed truth. And that's what we want. So be ready when you run into that bear on the trail. When evil is all around you. Continue in what you've learned. Let's pray. God, you are a good and gracious God. You saw fit to give us a writing, a history, story, your truth that is contained in the Bible. Thank you for giving us that. Thank you for revealing yourself to us so that we could know you, so we could follow you, but so that we could be saved. Thank you for showing us the best picture of love, and that is your Son. Submitting to you and choosing to be willing to die in our place on the cross so that we can be raised to new life, so that we can be good with you, so that we can be in a loving relationship with you that goes both ways. God, I pray that you'd be on us this week, that you'd be with us this week as we go, that you would help us to remember what we've learned, and that you would help us to continue in reading your word, to remember you. God, you are so good, and we're going to sing to you now. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.